collaboration considerations for other processes. The IP has a highly collaborative role in a facility, as is evidenced by discussions in areas throughout this learning system. Two areas in which IPs must collaborate that have not been discussed at length elsewhere are food services and pharmacy services. As is the case with many other areas, it is not typically necessary that the IP be knowledgeable about specific details of the roles and functions these services play. However, the IP must ensure that these services are executed following good infection prevention practices and work with the leadership of these departments to ensure that the individuals providing these services are educated and equipped with the necessary supplies to fulfill their roles safely. Collaboration with these other areas may manifest itself in two additional ways that are noteworthy: product recalls and construction and renovation projects. With regard to construction, which is discussed in more detail later, the IP must partner with these specialized service providers to ensure that the facility provides the necessary storage, processing, product/service, and waste capabilities both during and after the renovation and construction processes. With regard to recalls, the IP must be aware of recalls that have been initiated and be prepared to react to recalls that may take place with many product types, including equipment, food, medication, and supplies. Key point: though they are generally not responsible for initiating recalls and may not be directly or solely responsible for executing them, IPs must be aware of their defined role in the recall process within their facility. Examples of responsibilities they may have in this arena include collaborating with other departments and/or contracted staff, such as food service staff, to execute the recall. Communicating the recalls to all employees who may use the recalled items to ensure that they are aware of them. Ordering or securing alternate resources to replace the recalled items. Validating that all recall items have been removed. Maintaining a high level of awareness for possible disease outbreaks or pathogens associated with the recall. With all of that in mind, we will next examine some specific and important points that IPs should be aware of with regard to food services and pharmacy services. Collaboration with food services. IPs work closely with food services to ensure that they are monitoring safe storage and food preparation temperatures. They have processes set up for food inspection on delivery, storage is done safely, and product rotation and removal of outdated product are taking place. The IP should make sure that regulations and guidelines of accrediting agencies are followed. Food storage. Improper storage or poor environmental sanitation may introduce contamination or allow bacteria in food to increase. To meet food safety requirements, proper food storage follows a systematic method called FIFO, first in, first out. Food should be protected from cross-contamination during storage, preparation, holding, and display by separating raw, unfrozen animal foods from unfrozen RTE, ready-to-eat, food, including fruits and vegetables, as well as all cooked RTE foods. To prevent cross-contamination, no raw foods are to be stored above cooked or RTE foods. Key principles that may be useful with regard to food storage are summarized below, separated by area of effect. Food storage locations. Store food only in designated areas. Label and secure toxic cleaning materials away from food and paper goods. Implement schedules for cleaning and monitoring for cleanliness, temperature, product expiration dates, ventilation, and pest infestation. Rotate stock using FIFO procedure. Discard out-of-date foods. Keep food storage areas and all vehicles used to transport food clean. Food storage areas must have variable lighting, ventilation, and air circulation. Racking in food storage areas. Store food at least 6 inches above the floor on clean racks with slatted shelves or on racks that prevent cross-contamination and have proper air circulation. Never cover the slats with foil or other materials. Use shelving that either allows for cleaning under the bottom shelf or is flush with the floor and away from walls to facilitate cleaning and to reduce the number of places pests may find refuge. Place storage shelves at least 2 inches from outside walls that may sweat due to differences between inside and outside temperatures. Food storage containers and packaging. Store in clean wrappers or covered containers. Label contents, date received, and lot number, if present on the original container. Remove and discard all corrugated cardboard packages as soon as possible. Storage temperatures. Store food at the proper temperature. Acceptable temperature ranges include the following: dry storage, 10 to 21 degrees Celsius, 50 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Fruit and vegetables, except those in dry storage, 4 to 7 degrees Celsius, 39 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Dairy products, meats, poultry, fish, and shellfish, 0 to 4 degrees Celsius, 32 to 39 degrees Fahrenheit. Eggs, stored in their original container in the refrigerator, 7 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or below. Some recommendations indicate that eggs should be stored at 4 degrees Celsius, 40 degrees Fahrenheit, or below for best quality and safety. Frozen foods, minus 23 to 10 degrees Celsius, minus 10 to 0 degree Fahrenheit. Keep temperature logs, using appropriate thermometers, for all storage areas. If a problem occurs, correct it and record the methods used to correct it. Date, sign, and file. Key point, though the above best practices, as well as those that describe safe food preparation and service, are designed to control contamination of food in a facility, IPs must be aware of potential contamination originating from earlier stages of the supply chain, which may result in recalls of products that have been received but not used and are otherwise within proper storage and usage dates. Collaboration with pharmacy services. There is an important intersection of pharmacy services and infection prevention. The IP should be immediately consulted when a suspected or confirmed contamination event has been identified. Coordination with health authorities is essential, and it should involve collaboration with the IP and the pharmacist, as well as active engagement of the healthcare facility administration to maximize patient safety. Expiration dates and pharmaceutical storage. IPs may work with pharmacy personnel to coordinate recalls of pharmaceutical preparations, such as those due to intrinsic contamination or other quality deficiencies. Example, unacceptable particulate matter or potency. Expiration dates listed on drug dosage forms are established by the manufacturer and appear in the product labeling. When a dosage form is manipulated, including puncturing a multiple dose vial, MDV, or moving an item from the storage conditions listed in the product labeling to a different temperature, a beyond use date must be applied if the dosage form will be saved for future use. Setting time limits after first opening SDVs, single dose vials, and MDVs can help ensure microbial sterility and chemical stability. Note the following points. Manufacturer's expiration dates apply to the stability and sterility of unopened vials. The CDC recommends refrigerating MDVs after opening if recommended by the manufacturer. The MDV should be discarded when empty, when suspected or visible contamination occurs, or when the manufacturer's stated expiration date is reached. Guidelines state that after an MDV is first open, it must be discarded within 28 days unless otherwise specified by the manufacturer. Manufacturer's directions regarding disposal processes must also be followed. The temperature of refrigerators used to store pharmaceuticals should be checked daily, twice daily if used to store vaccines, and the temperature recorded electronically or in a log that is dated and signed by the person performing the temperature check. Temperatures that are higher or lower than recommended should be immediately addressed and adjusted as defined in the organization's policy. In pharmacies and other areas, such as materials management, where medications are stored in bulk, temperatures should be monitored continuously, with alarms set to indicate excessively high or low temperatures. The pharmacy should monitor for appropriate storage of pharmaceuticals throughout the institution. Routine inspections should be performed to ensure that expired medications are removed from patient care areas and disposed of properly. IPs should ensure that appropriate prevention measures are in place and followed. Vaccine storage. Vaccines must be stored correctly in order to maintain their effectiveness and optimal immunity response. Not all vaccinations have the same storage and handling requirements. For example, some can be refrigerated while others require freezing. Different variations of vaccinations for the same disease may require different storage conditions, too. Different COVID-19 vaccinations have required different storage temperatures. Some vaccines, for example, certain influenza vaccines, should be protected from excess exposure to light. Healthcare personnel handling vaccines should therefore always check the manufacturer's instructions before storing vaccines to ensure that they are stored correctly. Relevant storage information should be printed on the label of each vaccination vial or container. Proper vaccine storage begins with an effective cold chain, a temperature-controlled supply chain that includes all vaccine-related equipment and procedures. There are five stages to this chain. Vaccine manufacturing. vaccine distribution, vaccine delivery to provider, vaccine storage at provider, vaccine administration. In the first two stages, maintaining the cold chain is the responsibility of the manufacturer and the distributor. That is, the manufacturer has to create the vaccines at the correct temperatures and ensure that they are packaged in containers that can maintain the temperature when stored and moved. Once vaccines have been received by the provider, then the proper storage and handling become the responsibility of the provider. The CDC recommends that vaccines be stored in dedicated, purpose-built, or pharmaceutical-grade units designed to refrigerate or freeze biologics. A vaccine storage and handling toolkit is available on their website. These units are available in a variety of sizes to suit each facility's needs. But a facility should install units that can accommodate the largest expected inventory, for example, to ensure that a long-term care facility can store enough influenza vaccine for all residents and staff during the annual flu season. Vaccines should be stored separately from other medications, and they should never be stored in the same refrigerator as food and/or beverages. It is also important that vaccines not be stored in a combined refrigerator/freezer unit under any circumstances. Limiting the number of times vaccine storage is accessed reduces the risk of accidental spills and contamination. The CDC recommends that HCP monitor vaccine storage temperatures at least twice daily. According to the CDC's The Epidemiology and Prevention of Vaccine-Preventable Diseases, facilities should establish standard operating procedures for handling and storing vaccines. These SOPs should include the following: general information, vaccine manufacturer contact information, equipment service providers, key stakeholder information, including contact details, regularly used forms, example, temperature logs, temperature excursion logs, vaccine information statements, staff training requirements, routine storage and handling, all vaccine inventory management processes, ordering, receiving, unpacking, storage, handling, disposal, and monitoring, emergency policies and procedures, steps to be taken in the event of equipment malfunctions, power failures, natural disasters, or other emergencies that might compromise vaccine storage conditions. Developing these SOPs is an important step in the infection prevention and control program, and the IP should be involved in the process. They should also incorporate vaccine storage and handling into relevant training and evaluation programs. Training. New employee orientation, annual refresher course for HCP involved in administering vaccines, when new vaccines are added to the LTC facility's inventory, and when vaccine recommendations are updated. Evaluation. At least once annually, in addition to when new vaccines are added to the facility's inventory, and also when vaccine recommendations are updated.